tremendous revival. What's neat is I was thinking about it because in the world they're talking about things like this basketball gambling scandal that's going on right now, you know, and they're talking about what Trump is doing to the White House, you know, should he or should he not? And they're talking about Gaza, and they're talking about Ukraine and Russia's oil supply. And I mean, these are the things that are going on out there in the world.
Yeah.
And yet God is writing a story right now of revival.
Yeah.
Bible sales are still up.
Yep.
Digital downloads of faith-based apps are up. Church attendance up. We're recording something that the annals of heaven are right now writing down an amazing groundswell and undercurrent that I believe has yet to fully come to fruition. Right. I think there's something massive God's about ready to drop.
Pastor Dan, you're wearing a lot of blue today.
Yeah.
And we have our blue cups, and I'm just going to take it as prophecy that by the time this airs, it is game one of the World Series.
Whoa.
Now, the thing is, I'm going to say it's Dodger blue because the Toronto Blue Jays also wear blue.
Well.
So you're safe either way, but I'm going to say Dodger blue.
I live in California. Right. I love California. Yes. And if you ever ask me what team I'm rooting for, it's the California team. And if it's two California teams playing, I'm rooting for the local one. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, they're the closest to us.
You know, we would think our church might be divided, but it's way more Dodgers than Angels.
It's more blue than it is red. Yeah, I tell you. And that's not a reference to the LA Gangs either. But, you know, it. Definitely Dodgers show up in force at the Rock. Yeah. But, I mean, there are a lot of... What is the name of this organization? The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? Well, I mean, that never made sense to me. I was like, I can't get on board with that. Like Anaheim Angels,
I forget the origins of why they called it that. There was some kind
of justification. It has to have something to do with Disneyland and the Ducks. I just would think, you know.
I still remember when the Mighty Ducks came after
the
movie.
Mighty Ducks, yeah. Oh, man.
Which is a classic.
Then they changed the jersey, and it's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, and I don't even think they're called Mighty Ducks anymore. It's just Ducks.
The Anaheim Ducks.
Anyways, welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. How you doing? My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan, and we are so excited that you are here with us. Hey, as always, like, comment, share, subscribe, listen all the way through. Today, we have a good one for you as we are going to not just talk about this past weekend and the message. I know we were talking off camera how impactful it's been, the feedback that we've heard from our local church congregation, but also we just want to talk to you all things what's going on in the
life.
World. There's some exciting things going on. There's some frustrating things going on, but I feel like that's not ever new, right? There's good
always
and bad.
Always going to be something you're frustrated
so,
with.
Yeah, but it's always a privilege to chat with you about it, Pastor Dan. How are you feeling today?
You know, I'm good and
not blue like your shirt. I hope
not blue. No, not feeling
reflective
blue.
Of
feeling
your
good.
Mood.
What color would be a better color that you're feeling?
Peppy up.
Yellow.
I don't remember the mood rings of the '90s.
I do.
What was
usually yellow, right?
Yellow,
I think,
right?
Green was.
But isn't it
sad?
Mellow yellow? Call me mellow yellow.
Yeah, that's an old song. Man, no? Throwback, way back.
Maybe yellow. It's fall, autumn, orange.
Autumn and orange, yeah, yeah.
Can we get a little? Hey, shout out to our birthday boy in the room, Aaron.
Aaron Espinosa is 27 today.
Wow.
Still single, ladies. So just in case you see him around campus, make sure to say hi.
Holler at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put him in the comments. We can DM him.
Yeah,
his
hit him
number.
Up on socials. Actually, watching Aaron's socials makes me happy. I don't do a lot of social media, but I pop in every now and then online. And I was watching Aaron praying in Washington, D.C. recently. I think you need to get him in this seat. You know, get me out of here one week and get him in here. He's had some experiences lately.
Yeah,
I mean, he was at the Charlie Kirk Memorial.
Right, yeah.
He was at Washington, D.C. when they got a mile-long communion table. I think you need to interview this guy.
Well, like, you know, I think one of the things that I think about, we did have him on a podcast, and the theme of the podcast is he's still living it out, was just like that willingness of yes, right?
Yeah,
like just jumping at the opportunity.
For sure.
And I think sometimes and it's a great way to live life. I know we can always come up with reasons why, especially, you know, married, kids, this, that.
Yeah.
And, but I don't think that's, you can't excuse it or chalk it up to, well, it's just because he says yes. He's willing to maybe lose a little bit of sleep, right? He drove through the night. And I think if we all lived a little bit more like that with a willingness.
For sure.
We would experience life in a different way. So
yeah,
that's we should talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that'd be a great episode. So that's in the future. We'll throw that one in there somewhere. But I mean, I'm encouraged. Like I said, just looking at his social, seeing what's going on and what God is doing. I mean, just the fact that we had communion in the Capitol recently, and 50 states represented, and believers from all over the world. I think there was a small group of the prayer teams here at The Rock that did communion and did a live stream of the event.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of neat to just see how people are partnering up in faith, mm-hmm. you know? And there's tremendous revival. What's neat is I was thinking about it because in the world, they're talking about things like this basketball gambling scandal that's going on right now, you know? And they're talking about what Trump is doing to the White House, you know, should he or should he not? And they're talking about Gaza. Mm-hmm. They're talking about Ukraine and Russia's oil supply. And I mean, these are the things that are going on out there in the world.
Yeah.
And yet God is writing a story right now of revival.
Yeah.
Bible sales are still up.
Yep.
Digital downloads of faith-based apps are up. Church attendance up. I mean, I was looking at the crowd last night during the Wednesday night church service just to see. And then, like, Pastor Jess gave an altar call. She had prayed with them in their seats. And so I think people are a little bit more bold to respond. Yeah. Sometimes it's a rededication in that moment. But, I mean, 35 people on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Powerful. You know, we've had Sunday mornings where the two services, which are bigger services, didn't have that combined, you know?
Yeah.
One night, 35 people are responding for the call for salvation. God is moving. God is doing something.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so encouraged and so excited to see what God is doing on the planet. And whereas the world will record history as the war and peace treaties and Russia and scandal and, you know, these times, we're recording something that the annals of heaven are right now writing down an amazing groundswell and undercurrent that I believe has yet to fully come to fruition.
Right.
I think there's something massive God's about ready to drop.
Yep.
You know, and we're gonna see, and it's gonna be like, wow, you know, one of those moments that we're just like, oh, you know.
Well, you know, we think about seizing opportunities, you think about seizing moments in any business and any movement, there's always that, what are they calling, coming in on the ground floor, right? When you kind of ride the wave and you get to get in early. And so I think the encouragement is like, man, we get to be, you know, when the history books write this time and age, we get to tell our children and grandchildren, should the Lord tarry, that we were in this moment. And so I think a question I like to keep on the forefront of my mind is, where am I going to be in this scenario?
Yeah.
Right? Like, where, what will I get to say my hands were doing? Right? And I think, there's that ground level, you know, not everyone sees it, not everyone's on board, not everyone. And there is a sense of visionary mindset that we want, because there is there like early adopters, and then there's like, I forget, there's like, I think four levels of
I'm a late adopter.
Yeah, there's late adopters to things, and I'm trying to be an early adopter with this AI thing, because I think I can see some of the, but guess what? People were doing that about internet.
Oh, sure.
Right? Internet was going to be the devil, and there's and I think, so in other words, I think if in any, and it doesn't have to be AI, but anywhere we can find ourselves with discerning eyes and finding, I think we can find, we're going to be positioned for God to do something amazing.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned AI, and like, for instance, we're already using AI at The Rock, you know, so sometimes people comment about how the beautiful backgrounds are.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff is produced by AI.
Right. And if you use Google, maybe, and you type and it finishes the sentence for you, you're using AI.
That's AI, So, I mean, as far as early adoption, yes. And then even I got an email. It was a solicitation. I don't know how you guys are getting my email address out there. I'm about ready to change it. But I got this solicitation about that, the fact that if you have manuscripts of your sermons, then you can reach, I think, 2/3 more the people in your audience, that sort of a thing. And so, you know, I know that that's been something that's been a benefit for like the deaf community. We have a interpretation in our second service on Sunday mornings for deaf individuals, and that's been a blessing for years. Anita Andres, who also works with our school, is leading that effort and has a team of volunteers and some faithful people, some wonderful people that do that. And so, you know, we've done that. And so, manuscripts, AI also works to do the closed caption.
Right.
And those sort of things. So I think that there's some great tools that are out there that are not dangerous to us. You know, they're not going to take over the world.
Right.
They're just going to help us.
Yeah.
However, I would never have AI write my sermon.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I know some guys put it in there to say, hey, like, can you summarize all this stuff how I would say it?
Yeah,
you know? And so for me,
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. You know, if they're going to do that, that's fine, because sometimes it helps to just have something to you know, bounce something off of. And they would liken it to like using a thesaurus, I would imagine. I need another word for this. You know, what is that? And so some people would be an early adopter of that. Yeah. I don't know that I'll even be a late adopter of that, because I want to hear from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I want it to be original and not an internet suggestion. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been a proponent of that. But that's not to say that I won't use the research tools, like you said, with Google and things like that, where I can get a synopsis and I can find the specific sources and go in and look at those things. A lot of times people ask me, how do you get your stories? You know, and I've got several sources, and AI actually helps when I do a Google search. Mm-hmm. It gives me summaries of things, and I can find things that if I thought, hey, was there ever a time that this happened, you know? Mm-hmm. And AI will give me summaries of stories and things like that.
Yeah.
I think specifically, I did a message recently with savant syndrome.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that.
Remember
where
that
people,
one. Yeah.
You know, have a traumatic brain injury.
That was after Andrew hit his head. We were like, he's going to
come. Andrew, come on, man. Make some money, you know.
Piano.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he comes out going for it, man.
Yeah.
But so I talked about that. A lot of the research for those stories was done through the internet search and the AI synopsis that I received. So it's not like, you know, completely out. But I mean, that's something that definitely we can move forward and look at. And like you're saying, even with, you know, things like revival, things like what's going on. I know that there are people that, it's not a real revival because we're not seeing this, this, and this, and this.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a real revival.
Yeah.
You know, I think, what is it? Grand Canyon University just had a meeting where like 3,100, and probably getting the wrong number.
Yeah.
But you can look it up. They showed like that many of their students rededicated their life or gave their life for the first time to Christ.
Yeah.
There's revival happening. Well, like, so let's wake
people
up.
People get caught up in the semantics of language, maybe.
Which they do.
Which goes back to it. This time in history, where do we want to find ourselves? Do we want to go back like, oh man, I was a pessimist about it?
Mm.
So I'll give you a case in point.
And sure.
This is maybe for sports fans, we'll pick it up. But because I was such a diehard Laker fan, I did not get to enjoy the greatness of Michael Jordan because I spent his whole career just being a hater. Because he beat the Lakers in 91 for his first one. I was a young child, but old enough to be heartbroken.
Oh no, I was 11 years old.
And
sad.
I put it in my heart that I don't like Jordan. And so actually the Lakers weren't good for a while after 91, but I just went against anyone who he played against. And so I did.
So you voted Pistons?
I didn't follow his career. I didn't like really appreciate all that. And so what I did was like, okay, so here comes Jordan. Obviously I'm a Kobe fan. He's my GOAT. That's not this podcast.
You know, the comment section is going to get stirred up right now. I can feel it because LeBron's creeping in on that.
I wanted to learn from that Jordan thing.
Yeah.
So I appreciate LeBron's greatness. I don't think he has to be the GOAT, but I'm going to watch. I'm going to observe. I'm going to take him in for what he is. Same thing, kind of the same analogy here. Like maybe you don't want like the word, and maybe there are revival historians, or maybe there are people who just don't like. And there's hyperbole in this. And I know I've had conversations with people about throwing labels on everything. But if nothing else, I'm not going to dismiss 4,300 students getting. Don't call it revival. Call it revival.
Yeah.
God is doing something.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's something that we can all walk away with is just because someone doesn't use language I like or doesn't. It's not packaged the way I like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to miss the beauty of what God is doing.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, sometimes people put God in the box of that if it's going to be revival, then it has to be the miracles that we saw during this revival I'm invested in or that I've studied or that I've learned about. You know, and it's like, okay, that was the 1800s, you know, like... We've seen different waves of the Spirit come through. And again, there may be people that are late adopters and that sort of a thing, you know. I love the fact that there have been some very influential people. And whether you like these church organizations or not, again, undisputedly.
Yes.
Okay? Whether they're Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, you know, whoever else you want to insert their name in there, right? But Hillsong Music brought worship to the nations, right? And then after them, Bethel Music has brought the Holy Spirit in a fresh way to churches who had no theological agreement
right.
with the type of church that Bethel is in the sense of their right. flowing in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. They would be at odds with Bethel on, right. on their doctrines, but they'll sing their music. And all of a sudden, you've got these very conservative churches saying, no, yeah. we are open to the Holy Spirit. We are open to what his manifestations are in the church,
right.
and we can see it from the Scriptures. Why? Because they like the music, you know? And I think that's the same thing with revival, you know? Yeah. Even though it may not look like the first Great Awakening or the second Great Awakening or the Jesus freaks of the 60s and 70s, yeah. you know? We're looking at something that's fresh. Mm-hmm. We're looking at something that God is doing now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like it or not, I mean, there's some amazing things and amazing testimonies. And there is a present move of God that if you're not paying attention, yeah. you're going to miss.
Yeah. And I would warn or caution
yeah.
that we not get so bombarded or busy fighting amongst one another.
Oh, come on.
In the comments.
Oh, man.
Or just mad at the packaging or, you know, that we miss out God breathing on things.
Can we use a silly illustration
yeah,
of this?
Come on,
okay,
let's go.
Because Trump right now, President, right. I'll give him respect because I do respect the man.
Right.
President Donald J. Trump.
Right. Yeah.
Right? This man is investing his own money.
Right.
Okay. Now, like him or not, some yeah. of you guys don't like him. That's okay. You're
yeah.
entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
But he's investing his own money to put a ballroom mm-hmm. on the east wing of the White House.
Yeah.
And there are people who are just losing their minds over
right.
this.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it's a similar illustration. You're missing out on the fact mm-hmm. someone's doing something beautiful for yeah. our nation.
Yeah.
Someone is investing in this. And by the way, go back through the presidents and look at how many added wings,
right.
how many put in their own money, how
yeah.
many did updates and upgrades and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. I'm sure there was probably people mad at them too.
Right. Yeah.
But it's basically the people that say, no, this carpet is
yeah.
holy carpet and
yeah.
we can never remove this carpet. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had people... here at The Rock when mm-hmm. we were renovating,
yeah.
you know, and we were pulling out the tiles,
yeah.
they were reminding us, members paid $10 a tile
right.
for those steps, and
yeah.
people have gotten saved at those steps, and people
yeah.
have wept on those steps,
yeah.
and people have gotten delivered.
Right.
I honor what God did on those tiles that you spent $10
yeah.
for,
yeah.
but there's a new look.
You know, they and this is maybe, again, this isn't where we planned on going in the conversation.
Sure.
But, you know, what if something serves its time? And
hey.
Serves its purpose
yeah.
purpose for a season. I know we don't want, the thing is, none of us ever want to feel forgotten. But then I go to the question of, so did we do it to be remembered?
Mm.
Did we give $10 to be remembered? Now, I think we all like monuments and memorials. And
sure.
there's that part of us that probably likes, you know, I see buildings named after people. And I'm like, oh, one day I want to have my dad's name up there because his legacy and
sure.
what it means. And maybe you've thought about that for your own name, you know, like, but is that why we do what we do in the kingdom?
Yeah.
And so again, that's not to dismiss people's feelings being hurt, but what if we lived our life, changed the way? And I, again, maybe this is just another year older talking, but I'm also seeing, these revivals or these uprisings or what are the words people that maybe they refuse to use revival. They'll use, outpourings or, you know, so again, the semantics of these things.
Well,
God is doing something. Can we land there?
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't happening before. It's happening now. But
I would just say open a dictionary, look at the definition
yeah.
of revival. And
yeah.
I think we can all agree
yes.
it's happening,
right.
you know,
something
like
was dead and it's
being revived.
It's being revived.
People are being revived. Churches are being revitalized.
Yeah.
You know, and it's refreshing, especially after so many churches shut down and
mm-hmm.
closed their doors.
Yeah.
There are churches that used to be that are no longer.
Mm-hmm.
There are pastors that were in ministry that are no longer. And to see an upsurge and an uptick,
yeah.
I think there's some specific things that need to happen right now. One is that Bible training has never been more necessary. We need
yeah.
to teach the Bible.
Yep.
We need people to go to Bible college.
Yeah.
We need ministers trained.
Yeah.
We need people not to skip processes,
mm-hmm.
not to skip vital strength training in the
yeah.
sense of like, you know, you don't go to the gym and you just start lifting 450 pounds. You
yeah.
know, you
yeah.
have to start with the 50 pounds and
mm-hmm.
the 90 pounds and the 110 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to grow to that. And so people are trying to skip processes and just jump right into being a pastor or something like that. No, don't skip the process.
Yeah.
Because God wants to do something in you and you need to be trained.
Right.
And training time is not wasted time. You know, I think that our prayer life needs to grow as a body. You know,
yeah.
people are skipping, again, processes. Prayer is a process, but prayer is also the relational communication that we have with our God. Mm-hmm. And when you skip prayer, you know, you're going to miss out on a relationship. You know, I'm learning this with my daughter living at the dorm right now.
Yeah.
I have to be very intentional about my time and her time because she's very busy. Mm-hmm. She's got a packed schedule. She's not only going to classes, she's also a chaplain and overseeing things. And then she's got her social life and different things that she's doing. She was working until she got hurt on the job. But even that, you know, like, so I would, it's funny because Life 360, and if my daughter's listening to this, this is how I know when to text you or when to call you is because I'll see that she arrived at her dorm because we put that geolocation and put that there. And so when I see she arrived at her dorm, I'll call her. Hi, Daddy. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, you know, and it's
you
like,
know she's kind of
is it a good time? I just got into my dorm. Oh, yeah, I know. You know, like, but, you know, and I think that's where with God, where is God moving? What is God doing? Mm-hmm. And there are good times. Hey, I need to talk to God. I need to take this moment in my day. I need to take this moment. I know I'm going to get busy. I know I'm going to get drawn away.
Yeah.
So I need to grab this first portion of the day, or I need to grab this middle portion where I have some time to just pray, or I need to just take my 10-minute break, walk around the building and pray while I, you know, air all my frustrations of the morning out to God. You know, there's different things that we can capitalize on. And so, I mean, biblical literacy, Bible training, our prayer life, you know, and then I think just like you were talking about, be an early adopter.
Yeah.
Why be pessimistic about something that's so good?
Yeah.
If it wasn't revival, let's just play the scenario out. If it wasn't revival and you got passionate and you got revived and you went and got people saved, what's wrong with that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I've had to tell myself, like I said, I'm a late adopter. There's times where I've had to kind of stop and have a little smack session where I just, you know, get myself back in what reality is. Why am I fighting this? Why am I resisting this? Is it because of semantics?
Right. Well, it doesn't look like this. And this is really,
So what?
Yeah.
Like, jump in there. And, you know, if it's not God, but you got blessed or someone got saved, then I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, the things you just, named are not always the seen things. There's this building on my exit that we're to go home. There's a lot of development going on, and there's this new building, a new restaurant, a chain that we like, and it's popping up. The thing is, all the walls are there. The paint's all done. I'm like, what the heck? When's that opening? But there's permitting.
Oh, man.
There's appliances that need to come in. There's the inside. There's all this other stuff that looks like what's the holdup, but there's the little details. Again, I see the outside structure, and I think maybe the same thing in our lives, in our spiritual lives. We see this thing, but there's a lot of unseen things that go into what happens. So we see someone's outside, and oh, we want that, we need that, we got to get that, but we don't see all the stuff that, I mean, before they even broke ground. I mean, you think it started when the graders got out there, started like, man. They bought that property.
Yeah.
They had to get it. We know some people who they work for the environmental studies, right?
Oh, yeah.
They, I mean, they can shut things. Actually, there was this piece of land that now has all these everyone's favorite stores on. That land was purchased years ago. They found a kangaroo rat on that
property. That little guy has stopped so much in our area.
I had to find out that the reason why, so they move it, and then they give it 5 years to see if it'll rehabitate. Because if it doesn't, then they got to move it back.
Oh, my gosh.
And then say, you can't move
it. So apparently he moved.
Yeah. So
or they moved.
Basically, like, we have to let him move, settle in, because if he doesn't get comfortable there.
Hopefully he likes his new digs.
Yeah. So, okay, looks like he's staying. Now we can start.
I mean, what if the little guy dies? I mean, we start over and find another rat.
Enough of them, right? A new population.
Wow.
But yeah, so I mean, those are things I learned, right? You learn something new.
I know that stopped San Bernardino Airport from being commercial years, decades ago, was because they wanted to make that runway. I think it was 30 feet longer, or maybe it was 30 yards.
Yeah.
But either way, they found the kangaroo rat, and it stopped the whole project.
Yeah. They just. And I, you know, to some extent, I understand some of these things, ecosystems and all these things. But yeah, so in other words, when you see the building, you don't know everything that
we
goes
We see
in.
Revival, and we see these big, you know, framing is exciting.
Right.
You know, roofing is exciting. Mm-hmm. Those things, paint, exciting, you know. But like you said, appliances, electrical, plumbing, you know, all those things, permitting and everything that goes into it. We did a kitchen renovation, and I'll tell you, It took 2 years for basically 8 months of work, and even that should have been shorter. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, it was right after 2020. It was 2021, and so there was some different things going on during the time and some challenges that we faced. You know, but at the same time, the whole process from beginning in just to renovate a kitchen, 2 years. And that's where I see that, you know, if God is bringing revival to the church, yes, Jesus may be coming sooner than we know. And I believe that he's coming soon. Mm-hmm. Now, define soon. Well, like a year is 1,000 days, and 1,000 days is like a year. Yeah. So in my mind, it could be tomorrow or it could be 1,000 years from now.
Yeah.
Either way, we're only a day away, right? We're only, now you got me singing. You got me singing, man.
Tomorrow.
Oh, man. Tomorrow. Little Orphan Annie. Oh, but either way, you think about this, it could happen in our lifetime or it could happen outside of our lifetime. If it happens outside of our lifetime, should the Lord tarry and this thing go on further?
Yeah.
In revival, we need trained leaders to manage the harvest, right? Yeah,
right?
You need people who understand shepherding and pastoring. You need people who understand discipleship, people who understand evangelism, people who understand, you know, the ministry, if you will, teachers who will teach people the word of God and put those. We need apostles. We need people who will go, people who are sent ones that are going to go and start new works in other parts of the planet. Because as God stirs up revival in one place, there will be a heart and a passion for what God's heart is.
Right.
There will be initiatives. We need people trained in mercy gifts and administrations and all the gifts that are there in the Bible for the edification of the body. And edification, here's this big structure built up. But, you know, in our kitchen renovation, we found out there was a wall that could not be removed because of something called shearing.
Right.
Okay? And that's basically the structure, even though it's up and down, it can flex.
Yeah.
And so it had to be supported for shearing so that that structure wouldn't flex in its uprightness, right?
Right.
Same thing with the church. These gifts are given, and even though there might be the foundation of the apostles and of Jesus Christ, right, that we've got, and we know that's biblically true, God is building a spiritual house made out of living stones, us, right?
Right.
And with that, there are supportive ministries that if we're missing, the structure could get wonky. You know what I mean? It could be out of plumb. It could be out of line, and we wouldn't be upright any longer. Now we'd be a skewed organization with an improper view or improper teaching. It's why biblical literacy is so important. That's why Bible training is so important. That's why Bible college and why you know, classes and anything you can get that will edify you. That's why Bible reading plans, you know, things that seem so boring and I don't want to do school and this and that. Get it in you. Discipline yourself, even though it may be hard, because God is doing something. And there may come a time that revival calms down and it comes back to a level of, you know, kind of just, who knows, you know, the world turns very quickly. There could be stagnancy, there could be pressure, there could be opposition. We need to be strong in the midst of this.
Well, so maybe you can, this is just a personal question I have, and, you know, you can help me if I'm, but one of the ways I think about this is maybe because I'm a product of the Jesus movement of the 70s, meaning my parents got saved during this time.
Yeah.
And so, man, when I hear about it, it's all this awesome things. But then if I'm honest about it, I also realize they all got saved. They all raised their families in church, which was maybe my generation or your Gen X and some millennials. But then guess what? Gen X and millennials didn't raise their family in church as much. So then it makes me go, okay, how can we learn? You know, let's just use the building analogy before. Hey, we built on this ground. There's earthquakes around here. How do we make this earthquake
there? There you go. Yeah.
So, and I can't help but wonder, in the excitement of, hey, man, I think we've used this before, that church popped up, and because there was so much hunger, there was 1,000 people, but it wasn't built on soft structure or with a good either foundation. And I think it's important to hear the things that you're talking about now that is going to be the solid foundation. Are we willing to sacrifice the flash in the pan of a large event? In other words, because some of the fruit that came out of that, we grew up in these 80s and 90s, man, their response, my parents' response was they were super legalistic. Yeah. And to me, it worked. And I was like, oh my gosh, right? Like we talked about a couple weeks ago. I was like, I don't want to die in the rapture. But to other people, it was like, I don't want anything to do with
that. They would
rebel. Right? So how much should we kind of look back into history and try to pull some lessons.
Well, I think it's important that we do. Right. You know, that's why the Bible was written. That's where the New Testament tells us everything from the Old Testament. The stories were examples for us. You read the book of Judges, and it's a cycle. Yes. It's this cycle of revival. Yeah.
I'm actually in Judges right now, and it's like
Within
the same chapter, you'll have two or three rotating.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. And as soon as the judge dies, they go back to serving idols. Yeah. Fall away from God. And so, yeah, we do have to watch ourselves. The other thing is learning from, like, Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. Why did God trust Abraham? If you really get down into it, when he talks to him about, should I not share with Abraham what I'm about ready to do since he's my friend, you know? And he says, I know him that he will teach the generations after him. Mm-hmm. In other words, Isaac was who he was, and Jacob was who he was because Abraham mm-hmm. was a man of God and taught his generations how to serve God.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at Isaac and Jacob. Isaac probably was more like you. Mm. Very quiet guy. You don't find much. He did have his mistakes. Mm-hmm. He followed the mistake of his father in the sense that, hey, this is my sister. Yeah. It's not my wife, you know, and did the wrong thing there. Now, Jacob, we understand, made a lot more mistakes. Mm-hmm. Jacob was a rascal. Mm-hmm. That guy was deceitful. That guy supplanted his brother. He took his birthright and his blessing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went and stole the birthright. Now, the Bible says, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And we can see that Esau hated his birthright in the sense he despised it because he sold it for a bowl of soup. Mm-hmm. His God was his belly, you know? And so then when he sought it later on, he couldn't get it back, even though he cried about it. You know, it was like, you're not getting this.
Yeah.
You despise it. That's why God loved Jacob, is because even though Jacob did a whole lot wrong, Jacob always was seeking to find God.
Yeah.
That's why I believe Jacob wrestled with God that night and told him, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Mm-hmm. That was his heart's passion. I believe God was letting Jacob have that moment because he was Jacob, put it into words. Come on, you know. Yeah. We used to say that to our little kids, use your words, you know. Like, I know there's something in you, but you need to vocalize it. And I believe that Jacob was wrestling with God, and God's going, come on, let me get this out of you. What is it? I'm not letting you go till you bless me, you know. I know I don't deserve it. I know it's only you're the only one who can. Mm-hmm. You know, he had material wealth at that time. He's not talking about that.
Right.
He's talking about the blessing of God.
That's good.
He's talking about the capacity that only God can give for us to succeed in life. And he sure did, you know, because he was renamed Israel. And we call that, even for Christians that are grafted in, we are part of that namesake now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a prince with God. You know, there's a position that was there by birth. There was a birthright there. Yeah. There was something royal there. And I think that's where us in these times and these seasons, we do need to train our children, you know, in a godly fashion, a godly way.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned legalism and that sort of a thing. We need to stay away from that and teach them grace, teach them mercy, which legalism oftentimes doesn't teach, you know? And I had to fight that myself, you know, as a teenager when I first got saved, is that I went so far. I mean, I almost could say, like Paul, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Right. I was full of pride and was looking down my nose on everybody when I was jacked up inside, you know? And so, you know, God had to get a hold of me and had to teach me grace, had to teach me mercy and those things. And I've been trying to teach my children that.
Right.
And they've seen things. And I mean, being pastors, because they've seen more than I've seen.
Yeah.
They know more than I knew at that age, you know? Yeah. And so I've had to work with them and teach them, like, hey, I know you see this. Give them some grace. Give them some like, forgive, you know?
Yeah.
They're not going to always do the right thing, just like we're not always going to do the right thing, you know? And so to teach those things to our children. And then the other thing is to realize that everybody has to live their own life. Just like we mentioned, you've got Abraham, you've got Isaac, and you've got Jacob. Abraham lived a great faith-filled life. He had his flaws, right? Yeah. Isaac had an even better life, but he followed in his dad's footsteps. Jacob, though, departed from everything. And Jacob wasn't doing the same thing that his father and his grandfather were doing. He had his own stuff to do. He had an uncle he was messing, you know, with and things that were going on there. And, you know, had to live a life where there was a lot of pain and sorrows. You know, he told Pharaoh, few and evil have been the days of my sojourn here on the earth. You know, that's quite a statement. Mm-hmm. Quite a statement when you think about it. And yet he had his own life to live. And we got to realize that with our kids and with the generations and even beyond just parents and children, spiritually, with the people that we serve and with the people that are being birthed into our churches right now, some of them are going to follow our example and they're going to learn. other people have to have their own life and, mm-hmm. and learn things the hard way. And we have to be there with grace and love and mercy. And again, biblical training, biblical authority, you know, those structures and those things that we put in place to help right. foster them, to disciple them really, right. and love them through those things. Love them to life, not condemn them to death.
Well, it's not the boring stuff. It's the stuff nobody sees.
True.
Right. And I think that's good. I know we totally went off, but I thought that was such a fun conversation.
Great. Yeah, I loved
Pastor
it.
Dan. And if you could just maybe close us out with a thought or a prayer, really just because where I think this conversation was great was just encouraging us to keep our eyes peeled for what God is doing, set aside any of the preconceived notions or frustrations or challenges. Maybe it doesn't look how we want. Again, maybe you don't even want to call it a title, label it, but see that God is doing something. If you, not just in our nation, around the globe,
yeah.
even in persecution, that's
absolutely.
What we could have gone in. I mean, there's immense persecution going on in nations that, and that's being what's being publicized. That's not usually publicized. So there's things being publicized now, but God is moving on these nations. On I think I had read where there's in Nigeria. I also read that there's the now Nigeria has not Nigeria, the continent of Africa now has the most Christians in the globe. In the globe,
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's like 750 million Christians on the continent of. So I mean, God is doing amazing things
yes.
where there's immense persecution.
Yeah.
So you don't have to look far.
Right.
And so, anyways, Pastor Dan, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
But any thoughts or prayer?
You know, I think that for those that are viewing, you know, adopt, come on in, jump on in. The water's fine. You know, let's not only hear about revival, let's be revived.
Yeah,
let's
good.
Live a life that brings other people into that. And so, you know, bring your friends to church, bring your family to church, bring people that you're in contact with, love them, pray for them, be a part of what God is doing. Ask God to be used. You know, that's one of the reasons why I became what I am today is because I had a simple prayer early on was this, Lord, use me, you know, mm-hmm. I want to be used. I want to do what you want me to do. And so those are great prayers. So step it up, get into Bible college, get into Bible training, get into whatever you can get into, you know, a Bible reading plan and that sort of a thing. Devour the word, you know, create that hunger and thirst in yourself. And I believe that God is going to move in your life and move on the earth. And as we move forward, man, I believe that God's going to do great things. Father, bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love you guys. Again, share, like, comment, subscribe. We'll see you next time.